numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, once again, man on the job, in for the ailing Kelly Bidlin.
How many days in a row do I have to be to get A&G producer number?
Oh, 3 months is the minimum.
3 months? Okay.
Yeah, 3 months.
I've accumulated 3 months, probably.
Kelly had been a producer on this show for weeks, but he had never gotten to 3 months before. You have to do 3 months in a row. So, yeah.
I would say when you fill in for sick, sick people, it counts as double.
Kelly is producer number 9. We've done this for 6.5 years. My average is getting less egregious as time goes on. It was really egregious at one point. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Eric Eager standing by the way. And Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, in studio coming up. This is from Eric Biggio over at Will Hill. Will Hill with a new app today. Looking forward to that. Eric Biggio says, thank you both for the derivative show. Great stuff as always. Quick for today, Severino versus Atlanta. Atlanta first inning off the charts. Good. Severino has been awful, especially early. We just covered that. Yeah, too easy to ride that train and go Atlanta team total, or do you look contrarian? Well, I just bet the Braves to score in the first inning at plus 149. They moved it on me, and then I bet plus 140. Braves to score in the first inning. Again, one of those bets you have to be willing to lose. But when the stars align like that, sure, absolutely, I'm in. So, Eric, I just bet it. Buddhist man, Dean Kramer, charter member of a tribe. Dean Kramer, charter member of a tribe called Kvetch. That's exactly right. Little shout out to Tribe Called Quest and his Israeli background. Brian M. Oh, coincidentally, is Brian M. Doesn't that just mean Brian McKnight is saying he can never complete step 5, make you fall in love with me? Well, I don't think he intended it that way, but that's exactly what he's saying. Because again, 4, repeat steps 1, 2, 3. You just keep going in a cycle. You never get to fall in love with me. We point it out every time. Eric Biggio, then he comes back and goes, yes, you answered my question in that last segment. Thank you. We got to his point on that. So, yeah, man, just it's not often that it happens. We'll see. All eyes again on the Braves and the Yankees. The Yankees, by the way, when I went through the exercise of to make the playoffs and to win the division, they're to make the playoffs now. To forget the division, they're not even on the charts on the division, but to make the playoffs, the Yankees now at baseball reference 2.4% at Fangraphs 5.1%. Will Hill, Felica, and I were going through what would you place the odds on Cashman being back next year and Brett Boone being back next year? And my response was, do I do these on what they should be or what Hal Steinbrenner is likely to do? Because of what they should be, Cashman should be like minus 350 to go. But I don't know. He's kind of Teflon. And maybe Boone takes the fall, even though it's all Cashman's shortcomings with that line. The back of that lineup, the fact they've had Bowers batting leadoff, it's a travesty. If they had a guy like Farhan Zaidi with the Giants, you put that guy on the Yankees, they'd win 47 World Series in a row. Seriously, what a travesty. Let's talk some football. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports joins us. It's been too long, Eric. How you doing, man?
Gil, I'm extremely excited for this football season to start, and I'm even more excited now that you were talking about baseball for the last like 3 minutes, and you know what is a foregone conclusion is that the Atlanta Braves are probably going to take it all.
Yeah, I don't know. Although postseason baseball is a funny thing, right? Like, I mean, after 162 games, although the Braves will avoid the best of three series, so yeah, I mean they are the leader in the clubhouse. They absolutely should. But man, we've seen funny things happen, that's for sure, in baseball postseasons. We've seen funny things happen in football postseasons. You are the host of the Sumer Sports Show, at Eric Eager _ on Twitter. How often do we get the Sumer Sports Show, sir?
Yeah, the Sumer Sports Show, 3 times a week now. This summer, Thomas is Dimitroff, the former general manager of the Falcons. He joins Mondays during the season. He'll be Mondays and Wednesdays with me. So I do a Friday show by myself, which is usually pretty fun. I'll do an Immaculate Grid or something fun like that. And I can't wait till the season starts so we have games to preview on Friday.
I'm glad you brought that up because Wyatt Tomchek was almost spoiling today's Immaculate Grid for me off air. And I was screaming at him, don't spoil the grid, the baseball one.
I got it wrong too, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah.
What'd you end up, 8 of 9? What's your score?
It was like 250 something.
250. Okay. I've been asking this question of all football guys this offseason, Eric. I will ask it of you. which is, what is your most controversial take? Maybe juxtaposed against the betting market. Maybe it's juxtaposed against what you're hearing out there anecdotally, like, oh, they, people seem to have too much love for this. Some of the answers that have come up, Niners to miss the playoffs, Patriots to make the playoffs. I'm curious, what is your most outlying opinion?
That's a good one. I go back and forth with the Denver Broncos because I look at the AFC and I think like there's like six or seven really good teams, and there's about four teams that aren't particularly good, but they all have great coaches. Pittsburgh, New England, Tennessee, and Denver. And I think that at least one of those teams is going to make the playoffs. I know it was 2-1 maybe a month ago for Denver. We've seen at least a little bit of movement on that number down to 180. Part of me looks at Russell Wilson and says, man, even with play action and even when he was clean last year, he was an average quarterback at best. So how much can Sean Payton really do? And then I look at, you know, the last season, if you looked at like the first 15 or so games, like only three of them, Denver's opponents gained over 20 points in a game. So how much does he actually have to move the needle to make this thing work out? So I'm back and forth there. I think by the time it's all said and done, I'll probably predict Denver, or I'll probably have Denver going to the playoffs. But then the question becomes, like, how many great teams are good teams, and how many miss, and how many of those teams' front offices and head coaches end up, you know, being shown the door?
Yeah, I guess the follow-up to that is, how many teams fall under the category for you of having this wide variance in possible outcomes? Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, floor is going to be only, you know, so low. The opposite, the Arizona Cardinals ceiling might only be so high. But what are the teams like the Broncos where you're like, you know what? It could go so vastly different. This you know, sort of buttresses our point about alternate season win totals. I'm thinking in my head, just as some examples, you know, the New York Giants, a lot of varied opinions on them, the Miami Dolphins. How many? Like, cite some for me, if you would.
Man, I think so. I think the Raiders, your hometown Raiders, have a relatively narrow distribution. I think the Cardinals have a relatively narrow distribution. I think once it's all said and done, everybody's giving lip service to the Rams and Buccaneers, but I think that those two teams, the party's over. I think there's a pretty narrow distribution on them. I think on the top end, you have Kansas City. I think you have Philadelphia, Dallas. And then I think everybody else is in this really wide distribution where you're better off betting alts than betting the actual season win total at something around minus 110.
Yeah.
And that's a crazy statement of league, because you look in like the NFC, it's like Carolina, Atlanta, and New Orleans are all kind of middling teams, but they all have easy schedules. And we saw what happened last year in the NFC East when that occurred. You look at, you know, the Giants and the Commanders, they all have tough schedules, right? And so if they're middling teams, then how does that go? If they fundamentally improve or their schedule gets worse, then we think they could be great. So it's probably 25 teams or so that are in this like really wide distribution of possible outcomes. And, you know, to me, that makes it fun, but it also makes it super hard because you're trying to, when you're betting, you're trying to pick positive EV wagers. And I think like in a vacuum, for example, Denver at plus 180 could be positive EV. I think then the question becomes like, okay, well then who else misses the playoffs out of the AFC? And you're making statements that kind of like, is Baltimore going to miss it? Is Cleveland going to miss it? Is Cincinnati? And it's like, there's a lot of teams that they have to leapfrog for that third and final wildcard spot if they don't, you know, eclipse the Chiefs in the AFC West.
Let me ask you, what is your favorite alternate season win total, either to the over, to the under this year?
To me, I think it's a Seattle Seahawks wager, to your point. Like, so they're currently 8.5, I think, where, you know, and juiced over. You know, honestly, anything 10.5, 11.5, to me, when you think about that NFC West, I think the Cardinals are dead on arrival this year. Actually it's 9.5, you know, in some places as the screen is showing. But if you can go alternate 10.5, 11.5, because when you think about that division, it's a two-team race. The Rams are one injury away from being almost as bad as the Cardinals. The Cardinals are bad, and I think intentionally so. And San Francisco, like, we all index on how great Brock Purdy played last year. But for the most part, the Niners, since 2015, have either won enough games to go to the NFC Championship game, or they've lost 10 or more games. And it almost always is a quarterback injury that is the precipitation for the 10 loss seasons. And last year they avoided that with Purdy and Garoppolo. Everybody's indexing on last year, but I think in general, like, quarterback uncertainty has actually hurt Kyle Shanahan teams more than it's helped them.
Is there, I'll ask you some of our greatest hits. I'll save most for after the break, but I'll ask you one here. Jordan Love. I've made the point that I think thinking he will stink is probably a bad instinct. But have we gotten to the point where perhaps in the same breath, I say so many people seem to like Green Bay now that it almost seems almost too trendy. Where do you find them in your rankings?
I love the way you think on this. Like, so at 5-1 to win the division early in the markets, right? That was very clearly a bad price. 4-1, you're obviously moving that quite a bit. But at the same time, you know, it hasn't moved a ton, even though there's a lot of people in not only the media, but also, you know, the space that really like Green Bay. So there is clearly some resistance. You know, teams like Detroit, Minnesota, Chicago are balancing that out a little bit. So yeah, that does give me pause, right? It is, as much as, you know, last year when we were bullish on Detroit, it's like, well, that win total went from 6 to 6.5 to 7. And you're like, okay, well, this makes sense. We all like Detroit, and the people with, you know, the sharp accounts like Detroit as well. Green Bay has been bet down a little bit, but it's not enough for me to be like, oh, this is a slam dunk bet for them to win the NFC North, for example.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back more with Eric Eager from Sumer Sports. That's S-U-M-E-R Sports, including the notion of whether or not he feels anything in week one of the preseason, especially with these rookie quarterbacks, led him to any conclusions. As the Colts announce Anthony Richardson as their QB1 this morning. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide, which is out already, will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide or take advantage of our football season special. Get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. You got football fever yet, Wyatt? You entering any contests? Anything?
If we do something here at VSiN.
Oh, man.
We did I did pretty decent last year.
You did? What'd you do?
I think I finished second or third.
In the VSiN contest.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think Jason Kahn was the...
Jason Kahn, producer number 7, won it?
He won it, and he was very happy about that he won. He wants to do the circa one, and he texted me about a couple months ago. He's like, hey, you want to do the circa contest? I'm like, I don't got that type of money to spend off. He's like, we can find other people. I'm like, I'm good.
I'm debating how many survivors to get this year.
How many of you usually do?
I got 5 last year. Was total max of 6. I got 5. The max is 10 this year. So I don't know. Because I'm all, you know, on the one hand, I'm of the belief that extra entries is a overrated thing. I've said this many times because ultimately you only play one optimally. But it absolutely helps you those first few weeks of the season for real. And if you could, there's no question there's help to it because then it late if you're still alive. I mean, I have mixed feelings about it. Let's put it that way.
May I ask, what's the farthest you've made it in the Survivor contest?
Oh, was it 2 or 3 years ago where I made it all the way to that game where I had the Rams as a... I mean, I had, you know, like everybody says when they get knocked out of Survivor. Oh, I had it perfectly set up. I had the Rams as a 17-point favorite against the Jets. I believe it was a home game.
I know what the game you're talking
about.
And
the Jets beat them, yeah. So, if that can happen to you, you know, week to week, man. Eric Eager, kind enough to join us for a second segment here from Sumer Sports. Dr. Eric Eager, by the way. Real quick before we get to your best bets here, does week one of the preseason or anything preseason move your needle at all?
I think injuries obviously are big. We didn't get many this week, which was nice, especially for key contributors. The other one is, like, if a quarterback looks out of sorts, that is, to me, I'll, like, at least give some credence to that. Now, this week we were lucky. Richardson had a bad pick. Stroud had a bad pick. But for the most part, they looked like they belonged, at least. Like, the game didn't look too fast for them. But that's another thing that I'll always look at is, you know, does a quarterback look like Blake Bortles preseason, his rookie year was just, like, this guy can't throw, you know, and you're like, okay, I guess we're going to have to like not buy into the Jags this year. And that's just one like sticks in my head.
Yeah. Blake Bortles, who the Johnny Manziel documentary reminds us was the first quarterback taken the year that Manziel came out. I'm not sure if either was a rousing success, quite frankly. At least Bortles got them deep into the playoffs that one year, got to the AFC. Probably should have. Oh, they should have won that game.
I mean, he was a short ball away from making it to the Super Bowl.
Brutal. Brutal for the Jaguars.
Yeah, he had 35 touchdowns or something in year two. It wasn't great. But, yeah, I mean, it was a mixed bag for him. But at least early, you just, like, looked at the arm slot, and you looked at the kind of skittishness in the pocket, you're like, I don't know, and Chad Henne, Chiefs legend, two-time Super Bowl champion, was starting over him, and even then, like, they went to Bortles almost immediately, and Bortles was terrible as a rookie. So it was just, you knew that Jacksonville team was not going to be particularly good.
Yeah, well, at least he did something. Johnny Football, of course, didn't in the NFL. All right, real quick before, because I want to get to your other takes, but just to clarify the Green Bay take. So you do like a Green Bay bet, which is.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take Green Bay all the way down to 3-1 to win that division.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be my number. I'd take over the 7.5, even juiced out to like -150, -160 or so. Like that's to me, I think, where I like Green Bay. I wrote this in a tweet the other day, which to me, it's like, I think that Jordan Love will color between the lines much better than Aaron Rodgers was an artist last year. Ooh. And Rodgers is maybe one of the best artists to ever play the game, but he kind of lost, you know, obviously when that goes poorly for Green Bay, it goes really poorly. It gets Mike McCarthy fired. It gets what happened last year. And I think Jordan Love is maybe not as creative as Rodgers will be, but I think he'll hit that back foot and trust the Matt LaFleur offense, which I think is a little bit underrated.
Excellent analogy on that. Okay, I like that. Color between the lines, better than Aaron Rodgers was an artist last year. The conventional wisdom has the Niners and the Eagles, not necessarily in that order. Let's say Eagles and Niners. But those two teams as the cream of the crop of the NFC. From a betting standpoint, you don't quite see it that way.
No, I think, you know, what really hurt the Cowboys last year, and I was very high on CeeDee Lamb, you know, for offensive player of the year and all the, in, you know, lead the league in receiving yards. And obviously those bets didn't work. All of his overs hit, but he was the only receiving option that they had. And, you know, I know that they lose Kellen Moore, but I'm coming around to this idea that Brandon Cooks is going to be kind of the guy that unleashed the offense. When you don't have a deep threat that is okay with kind of a 0-for-0 game, that's just, you know, run the defense off, make sure the safeties are occupied at all times. It really hurts your passing game. We saw Dalton Schultz. He was the franchise tag player for Dallas last year. He, didn't have a great year because there was no openings in the middle of the field for him. I think Brandon Cooks is going to turn that offense around quite a bit. I think Pollard, you know, all the carries going to Pollard instead of Zeke. You have to see how he's going to work efficiency wise. But I really like the Cowboys. Cowboys and Detroit, for example, I think those are the two teams that if you're looking at, you know, Super Bowls out of the NFC, you know, Philadelphia, is favored and they should be, but you're losing both coordinators. You're losing Javon Hargrave. You're losing Saamalu, the guard. You also have AJ Brown, who was very healthy last year. He's not been healthy all the time in his career. So I think I like the Eagles. I think they'll make the playoffs, but I think Dallas to win that division and Dallas to, come out of the NFC is a good play. And I also think that about Detroit. Like, I'm not going to bet Detroit anything kind of -110. So their win total or even something like +150, like the division odds ish number there. But I will take them on long shots. I think that, you know, Detroit, if everything comes together, it can be very Philadelphia Eagles like, where you're great on both offensive lines. The quarterback has a great play caller. Ben Johnson stays. And, you know, you work off of that. And that has some really, you know, fat tail elements to it in the NFC where, you know, if we're not right about the Packers and if the Vikings regress and the Bears don't emerge to who they're supposed to be, they could run away with that division. And, you know, if you run away with a division in the NFC, you could run away with the entire conference, given how mucky it is.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I do not want to live through a season where the Cowboys are that successful. That's for sure. So you have them both as NFC bets, a path for them to do very well in conference. I noticed that you did not say it to win the Super Bowl, however. What is your big take on that?
Yeah, I mean, for the Super Bowl, I look at Buffalo and I think to myself, are we just all overlooking Buffalo? Now, there have been some perturbations. You've had injuries to Von Miller. You have, Leslie Frazier, who's been fantastic. You know, he retires for a year at least, and they go with McDermott calling the plays. That might hurt him. McDermott's a top five coach in the NFL in terms of in-game decision-making. But this, to me, reminds me of the Colts, of the mid-2000s, where, you know, they go to New England two straight years. It's snowy. They lose to the Patriots. And then they lost at home to that Steelers team that was a six seed. Big Ben makes a huge tackle on the Bettis fumble. And everybody's like, the Colts just are a team that can't get over the hump. And I think Buffalo, obviously, of the 13-second game, you have the snow in their home park. But, you know, Cincinnati much more accustomed to it or better for it. And this is the team that's been the best team in the NFL the last 2 years. If you look at power ratings, you look at everything. The Bills were the best team in the league in 2021. They're the best team in the league last year, until Von Miller got hurt, at least. And everybody's kind of disregarding them a little bit in the minds of many. At 9-1, to me, this is a really good play. And I think Buffalo, they're coming out of a hard division with the Jets and the Dolphins and the Patriots all being strong contenders. I'm a big fan of Buffalo this year to go all the way and surprise some people in the way that the Colts did kind of in the middle of the last two decades ago.
Yeah, it's a good comp because it's Kansas City and Cincinnati in most people's minds and certainly in the betting market as well out of the AFC. And the proverbial window does appear to be shutting. And maybe after this year it will shut some more. But yes, it's an interesting take on the Bills. We've had a wide opinion on them too. I think Mike Pritchard's hot take was he didn't think the Bills were going to be very good this year, right? Like so, or as good as expected. So it's all over the place on that. Real quick before I let you go, because this has come up on the show, so I just wanted to throw it out at you because you mentioned that you thought the Rams were going to be pretty defined this year as not so great. I'm paraphrasing. There's a couple people who made Stetson Bennett offensive rookie of the year plays in triple digits. 200 plus to one, and then 150-1, I believe. There's a path, do you think? If the Rams,
if Stafford is the one of the three superstars on that team that gets hurt, and he can funnel 150 targets, to Cooper Kupp, 200 targets to Cooper Kupp, yeah, he could look good. Looked good the other day.
What about besides hurt? What about we're just not going to be very good this year. We're going to sit Matthew Stafford.
Could be. I mean, that's why it's 100. It's more than 100-1. Yeah. Because the path is very thin. But if it happens, he's a quarterback. So yeah,
he's a quarterback. That's the whole point of the conversation. He's a quarterback. Eric, great talking to you, man. Great seeing you. Appreciate it.
Of course, this has been fun.
Eric Eager, Dr. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports, host of the Sumer Sports Show. My Mishpoka, Chrissy Andrews next, right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro, as in become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Get an all-access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 college football and NFL betting guides. Both the college football guide and our NFL betting guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. The only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you can do exactly that at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's A Numbers Game from the South Point. Ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for Kicking It with Chrissy.
Can I kick it? Yes,
yes. Chris Andrews, ladies and gentlemen.
Can I kick it? Yes,
yes. South Dakota. You did not endorse it.
No.
Well, they don't ask you for editorial advice.
Really?
Nor with any of mine, by the way, do they ask me. They just throw it up there. You seen the intro of me where I look like I have to go to the restroom? Like I'm asking to go to the restroom?
I did mention that. And they said, well, it was a little tough because, it's just you swaying around,
Yeah.
It wasn't trying to. It was made with love.
I'm sure it was. As long as it's made with love,
That's what counts.
That is the voice of Chris Andrews, ladies and gentlemen. He runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook here, where we broadcast from here on the tip of the strip in Las Vegas. How are you, sir,
I'm doing good. Good, thank you.
Before we get into any of your college football stuff, let's talk about your Uncle Jackie's, your Uncle Jack's induction into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame at Bet Bash 3, where your cousin Zach inducted him, and you announced it on this show some months ago.
Well, even at the ceremony, I introduced my Uncle Jack, who, and then my cousin Zach accepted for him.
Gotcha. Yeah. I heard it was just the most awesome thing in the world. The whole event.
The whole event. You know, and I've talked to Spanky a couple times since then. I said, this had all the makings of a disaster. You know what I mean? It just so many moving parts and everything else.
Yep.
It wound up great. It really did. And I had to call him and compliment him the next day. Everything was terrific. The whole event.
I said the other day, I'm like, let's say you concocted this and you're like, okay, let's say in your mind, you were like, you wanted to do this event, there are panels, there's a Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. You want to do all these different things. And you were like, okay, who could pull this off? Is he kind of the only guy that could probably, that he has enough gravitas to pull it off in all directions?
That's the gravitas, that's for sure. So that he may be the only one to be able to pull off that. But Spanky is really smart.
Oh,
and,
huge.
You know, sometimes he has like that New Jersey kind of accent and stuff. You start talking to him, he is really, really a bright guy.
1,000%. 1,000%. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, there's some other really smart guys in our business. You know, Jack Andrews, you know.
Captain Jack is great.
Yeah, he's great. Rufus is really smart. Yeah. I don't think Rufus would have the personality to pick up to do something like this.
Sorry, Rufus.
I was being nice.
Yeah. Sorry, Rufus. Apologize.
But there's a lot of really smart guys that I don't think just would have everything that it would take to put this all together.
Yeah, Captain Jack's a good call. He's also a
Captain Jack guy, would yeah. probably be my second choice.
Was Zach super touched?
Oh, yeah. I think he was got a little choked up maybe, excepting yeah. for his dad, yeah.
How about Roxy?
Roxy.
Or was Roxy just being Roxy?
Roxy had a few cocktails by the time he came
out. No.
And Vic introduced Roxy. He had a few cocktails as well, so it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was a great event again, and you know we've spoken a lot about it. But Bet Bash 4 next year, recommended.
I got to tell you, so I talked to Zach beforehand, and I said, Zach, here's what I want to do because I don't know if I said on this. Let me just very briefly say, you know, in case anybody didn't know or wasn't there, I wanted to talk very touchingly about my Uncle Jack. You know, when this was 1970, that's when Jack got indicted, and I've told the story about the FBI agent who wound up betting Jack's games and all that stuff, you know. So that, you know, everybody kind of liked that. But the point was, at that period of time, in our house, and we just had a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house, it was Jack, his 3 kids, my mother, my father, and my grandmother, all living in one house. Like I said, we're a big Greek family. We just thought it was normal. You know, who knows what the neighbors thought. That same year, my father passed away. So we went from 2 fathers to none. And Jack, you know, had this after he got indicted, beat the indictment, came out to Vegas. He was going to establish himself out here.
Yeah.
But what I said about Jack, and it was one of those things where Zach and I talked about it years later, you just kind of take it for granted. But Jack was flying back and forth, being a father to us, providing for us, and coming back out to Las Vegas and doing his thing out here. I mean, I was gonna say about 42 years old at the time. He was still like establishing himself. But what he did was just incredible.
It is incredible.
And like I said, it was.
How old was he at that? 42?
He was, because I was 14. He's 28 years older than me. So yeah. He was 42. So he was, you know, like I said, just establishing himself.
So young enough where if he was a little less mature, it could have gone a different way.
There's a million ways it could have gone a different way, you know, but he did that. And when I made my speech, I was talking to Vinny. I gave Vinny my speech. I said, I got to cut this down. I had 2 funny stories about Jack that I had to eliminate. One is when I got picked up by the police one time and they said, all right, we got to call your father. I said, well, my father died. Well, who else is in your house? I had to call my Uncle Jack to come down to the police station and pick me up. No, that was a lot of fun. And the other one that, again, I had to eliminate, I was a little older. I got a new Monte Carlo, and I had it for about 4 or 5 days, and I totaled it.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I'll tell you more about that someday.
Yeah.
Really stupid. Jack flew me out to, I'm in Pittsburgh, he flew me out to Las Vegas, had me take a cab to meet him for lunch. He fed me, screamed at me, and sent me home on the next plane home.
Wow. Yeah, so, I do remember that story.
I
flew you
that.
Out, screamed at you, sent you back.
Yeah, and it was who did he scream at me in front of? Oh, let's see, Bob Martin, Jackie Gaughan, Billy Baxter was probably there. All his cronies, you know. Send me back on the next flight.
But that is, I guess I didn't realize that you went from, in effect, from 2 to 0 at the same time.
Yeah, right, in, within a few months. Yeah.
By the way, we're referring to Jack Franzi. We should probably put out
Jack Franzi, right.
Yeah,
Jack.
Your Uncle Jack.
But the story, I said, I'm not going to tell you this story. And I told, which I told on the air, it might have been last week, when Jack middled us and passed posted me. As soon as I started telling that story, I could hear Zach start laughing.
Yeah.
Because I didn't tell him I was going to tell that story. That actually got a really big hand.
You told that story here on A Numbers Game when you announced that he was going to be inducted.
Yeah, that was, and we got a couple minutes. I'll just go over in case anybody didn't know. Yeah, it was very, I'll try to give you the abbreviated version. Zach and I used to watch these games on Tuesday night. It was on the local PBS channel, and it was always some obscure game. That's why I wore Bucknell, because this involved two teams from the Patriot League. It was Lehigh and Lafayette, and I liked the favorite. I remember Lehigh, and Zach liked the dog. So Jack corralled us at different times. He got me to lay 21.5 on the game, and Zach to lay Zach to take 20.5 on the game. We didn't realize these games were being taped. And, you know, then there was a splice in the tape, which never happened. And we looked at each other. What did you take on the game? I took 20.5. What'd you lay? I laid 21.5. Your dad middled us, you know. And then one thing that got a big laugh, I said, by the way, we were 10 years old. We already knew what middling was. And
And he made you pay. And he made us pay.
And, like, when we went to pay, we each gave him our dollar. It was a dollar bet. He goes, nah. When did you two start betting even money? It's 11 to 10. You each owe me another dime. Go upstairs and get it.
Well, life's lesson.
But we did. We learned a lesson.
You so were smarter for it.
So, but it was just funny because as soon as I started telling the story, I could hear Zach off in the distance start laughing. He knew where I was going with this one.
That's phenomenal. So I never heard that you had totaled the Monte Carlo. So,
oh, yeah, that was a new one. Yeah.
So this is another part of your car history. Again, for those who are beating the book listeners from many years ago or who read Then One Day.
Yeah.
They will remember your famous orange Electra.
My orange Electra. I didn't wreck that one, fortunately.
the Buick orange Electra.
Buick orange Electra.
Yeah. Which, by the way, you can Google, and you just can't. I can't find the exact color.
I can't find the exact color. Yeah. Just think of like kind of like that Tennessee orange, maybe.
Yeah.
Very just a bright one. If you're driving down the street, you couldn't miss it.
What summer was that? Early 70s, late 60s?
Yeah, it was early 70s.
So what was that story?
I think it was 73.
Jack said, hey, you get the orange Electra, you can take it to Vegas.
No.
Oh.
We were in Vegas.
Okay.
Jack flew us out.
Right.
Sonny Vaccaro called me and said, hey, you guys don't have a car. Here, I got one for you. And like I said, if you know Sonny, he's a lot like Jimmy. Those kind of things it'd be like him handing you a dollar so you can get a Coke.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Out of the machine.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything to him. Here you go. Here's George Gervin's car. You can have it.
How old are you now?
17.
Around an orange Buick Electra.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then?
And then Tark. This is Tark's first year. He calls me up. Hey, kid. Are you Jack's kid? Yeah. Sonny told me to call you. We need the car.
And who ended up driving it the rest of the summer?
I don't want to say. You know, Sonny asked me not to repeat his name.
Oh, okay.
So I won't repeat.
Didn't we say his name before?
We did. Okay. Sonny asked me not to say it again. So go check the tapes.
Let me just ask you this. Could he do a finger roll?
Oh, no. It was George Gervin, the car.
Oh, right.
The guy I gave it to.
Oh, it was different.
Played in the NBA.
Okay.
Played in the NBA.
We'll keep that to ourselves for now. The life of Chrissy Andrews. Uncle Jack. Jack Franzi into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. College football. Numbers next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Las Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. Mike Rose. He is responding to our talk about the Braves first inning earlier. He says, been betting the Braves first five team total over 2.5 for the last 2 weeks. Been a money train. Cashed in the first inning Sunday, cashed in the second yesterday. I think in addition to my Braves score in the first inning, I think I'm going to add Braves every which way. First five, full game, run line. Doing it all today against the Yankees. Mark Meltzer, our buddy Meltzer like seltzer, Melts in Vegas. Head to the Palms on October 13th if you're looking for Gil. Babyface is at the Palms in October. Damn right I'm going to be there. You think you're joking, you're not. I'll be there. Just to follow Vison says, this is about the Johnny Manziel doc. I lost my brother to mental health and I'm sympathetic to it. And just like physical health, there's a responsibility to remedy your own condition if possible. He seemed proud of himself for watching zero film. No sympathy for that washed talent with no work attached. And then I've begun to gather my things, has showed us an image of a orange Buick Electra, which is not quite the orange one that Chrissy had, but it's close. Man, that part about the Manziel doc where he admits to watching zero film, zero. Like they can monitor his iPad. It was 0.0 seconds. And he's like, yeah, zero film. Of many revelations, maybe the most amazing. Of all of it.
The crazy thing is, like, you can put it on a loop and just keep watching to, like, it's fit the time.
Incredible. Incredible. He didn't
even try.
Didn't try. Did not try. A couple things. One, the Women's World Cup is going on. I didn't want to not mention it, but our interest level, certainly in this country, has fallen off. And I'm guessing most people's betting interest has fallen off to a great degree. Not everybody, though. But last night, Spain beat Sweden 2-1. It's one of those, it falls under the category of, I'm so glad I stopped betting it because I probably would have had the under. And it was 0-0 into the 81st minute. And then Spain scored to go up 1-0. Sweden got the equalizer in the 88th minute. Oh, no, pardon me. Sweden scored first. Pardon me. Spain got the equalizer in the 88th minute. And then the go-ahead in the 89th, and the game was over. Spain advances the final. They beat Sweden 2-1. Don't forget tonight, Australia, England, if you are so inclined. And then Wyatt Tomchek, who's filling in for Kelly Bidlin, he is going to the Aces Liberty game tonight. What did you call it? What cup is it? The Challengers Cup?
The Commissioner's Cup.
Commissioner's yes. Cup. The Aces are favored by how much in this game?
Last time I saw on ESPN, this was like early this morning, it was 7.
Liberty just destroyed them last time out, right?
No, this is, everyone thinks, you know, and good reason why, this is going to be the championship preview in September.
Oh, they're by far the two best teams in the in the WNBA.
But Parles invited me. He's like, you want to go to the game? Parles never invites me to anything. So
Parles is your date?
Yes, Parles is my date.
Parles in charge.
How is he?
He's doing okay.
Okay. Yeah. You know. Will he buy me a drink at least?
No, he will not buy.
Dang.
No, it's not going to happen. Chrissy Andrews kind enough to hang with us for a second segment. By the way, Bet Bash, you weren't selling books at Bet Bash, but a lot of books got sold after your...
No, I could just see in the charts. Yeah, I sold a lot of books. Sold a few of the novel. Adel Fosmu. The pin, my pin tweet, if you want to go find it. But I sold a lot of Then One Days.
I would tell you, Liz, who works with us, who was filling in for Kev in the corner doing audio the other day, she was talking about Adel Fosmu, and she was saying the characters suck you in. They grip you, she said. Oh. It was a big endorsement.
Yeah, thank you.
I
said when I wrote it and sent it to the publisher and all that, I said, yeah, I really know these guys. Yeah. I really do.
I loved it.
Yeah, I think it's terrific. Well, I hope to sell some more.
Then One Day, Then One Year, Adel Fosmu, the novel. Yeah. And another book coming.
Working on it. It's going to, you know, I was hoping to get it done before football. Obviously, that didn't happen. But I'll try to piece it together between now and the end of the year.
We haven't talked college football today.
Yeah.
College football games of the year. You guys put them out here at the South Point. More movement on them?
Yeah, not a ton of movement, but there's a couple that I, you know, should point out. And I could see, that and season win totals, overrated. I mean, my ratings differ from a lot of other people's. It's just, I don't want to say I've overrated, underrated, but they're different. Mm-hmm. I could see I rated Illinois a lot higher than other teams did, than other people did. I opened November 18th, I'm looking at. It's one of the biggest movers. I opened I open Iowa 3 over Illinois. I'm up to 6. Others.
Wow.
Not, that was one. And like I said, we'll get the season win totals too.
Do you remember what it was about Illinois for you that you had them rated higher?
Bielema has been really good in the Big Ten. He had a lot of success at Wisconsin. I think he's recruited well. I think he's got enough guys coming back that I think he's going to parlay what he did last year into a pretty good season.
Yeah.
So
I'm sort of smiling about it. It's sharp bettors will find it, right? It doesn't matter if you have 5,000 games up. If there's one where it's off, they will find it for sure.
Yeah, and then I'm looking. I had a couple others. I've rated Florida State much higher than other people did, and Clemson a little lower.
Oh, wow. I think a lot of people love Florida State.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm looking here. I opened Clemson 1 over Florida State. I'm up to 3.5.
Well, they never win there. Bad history there.
Never is a big word.
Yeah.
You know.
By never, I mean not in 10 years or so. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Let's not go back to biblical times.
No, I don't want to go AD or anything.
I think Ohio State will be down a little bit this year. A little bit. Like I said, there's 128 teams speaking. Would love to have Ohio State's problems.
Yeah.
I opened them 6.5 over Notre Dame, who, by the way, I overrated, again, according to wise guys out there. I have to respect that. Overrated Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame, again, is going to be very good.
Notre Dame has a wide variance of thought, I would say, about
absolutely,
them.
They do. So I got Notre Dame. I had Ohio State 6.5 over Notre Dame. I'm up to 7.5. I opened Notre Dame 13.5 against Pitt. I'm down to 11. So those are some of the highlights in the games of the year. But there's a lot of changes.
Those don't surprise. Yeah, I could see that.
No surprise. Yeah. But, I mean, listen, we take our best shot and see what happens.
What about your season wins?
Season wins. I marked down the biggest movers. Again, I opened Notre Dame 8.5 over a quarter, I think. I never got bet. I don't have one bet on that. So that kind of surprised me. Some like off-the-radar sort of teams. I opened NC State 5 under. I'm down to 4.5 under 30. That's a pretty big move. I opened Virginia Tech 2. I think they're going to be horrible. I'm up to 2.5. And again, these are strictly conference
wins. That's right.
What's the joke I make every year that I overrate Oklahoma? This year I may have underrated them, at least according to the market. I opened them
every year. We're going to do this again with Oklahoma.
My annual rite of summer, overrating Oklahoma. I opened them 6 under, and I'm up to 6 over 30. But I made up for it by overrating Oklahoma State to open that 5.5, but 5.5 under 40. And then Utah, who I think is really, really good, but they bet me under, opened 6.5 flat. I'm down to 6.5 under 40 on that one.
How much does it take to move that here at this shop?
Well, we take 2 dimes.
Okay.
You know,
a 2-dime bet would move it a half a game?
No. Move it usually like 15 cents.
Okay.
And then if I get hit again, then now I start looking at maybe I need to move the actual number total. And again, going back to the Ohio State theme, I opened them 7 flat. I'm up to 7.5 over a quarter on them. But again, I think, how bad are they going to be? Maybe what, number 4 or 5 in the country? It's a bad year for Ohio State.
Yeah.
Oh, and one more I want to throw out. I opened Georgia, and again, this is strictly season win, conference wins. I opened them 7.5 over 220. I'm down to 7.5 minus $1.70. Mm-hmm. A lot of money on that under. Obviously people thinking they can lose one game along that stretch. I got to tell you, show me which game that is. I guess at Tennessee, they have a good chance.
All it takes is one, so I guess they figured,
They were totally in a different league than Tennessee last year.
How does that compare handle-wise to some of these NFL season-long bets? Much more volume for the NFL?
Oh, yeah.
Much more.
Yeah.
Give me a...
Well, first of all, we take 10,000 in the NFL.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got... I mean...
So the multiplier is significant.
We take 2,000 in these college ones, 10,000 in the NFL.
Okay. Let me ask the converse of that, because I just brought it up. The Women's World Cup, are you even taking one wager on this anymore?
Yeah, I talked to somebody else. I've had a couple of dime bets. A couple.
That's it.
And that's it.
Since the USA got eliminated, or are you talking about a daily
basis?
This
is before the USA got eliminated.
Oh, that's it total. Like, you're not taking anything anymore?
I mean, we have it up.
But no one's betting it.
Yeah, we had a dime. I mean,
a straight dime.
Somebody bet a dime. Yeah, I can't remember what it was. You know,
okay.
I'm,
that's what I thought.
I'm not going to sweat it. Let's put it that way.
Chrissy Andrews, everybody. We've done all we can do. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.